is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Base, Sydney Stay, 82 feet above sea level, Intergalactic Canine Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Brayden?
I feel it.
I'm filling button orders right now.
Yeah. Well, as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So we are here. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy. I am joined by Michael W. Dean and Brayden. Michael's busy taking care of our new pup, Jason. Thank you for your service, Jason. And Brayden, how are things with you?
I'm doing great. I'm the proud receiver of these Freedom Fiends buttons and stickers, so I'm quite excited about that.
Got them
in the mail.
Sweet.
Is that Brayden or Jason? Oh, you got yours already, right?
Yeah, no, Jason has received them, Michael. You haven't even finished the job yet, and they're already there.
Cash Brayden said I can see through time with my button.
Yes.
There you go.
With my magic button. Not that kind of magic button. Not her magic button.
Whoa. Can you say that on radio?
Can you say that on radio? I think I did.
Yeah. My goodness.
I like that Cash Newman has become slang for things. Like kind of like Sherm Hemsley, you know, for doing PCP.
Yeah.
That's kind of unfortunate for Sherm Hemsley. You know how you go into like... Have you ever been to a restaurant where there's a framed sign photo of someone famous on the wall
who eats
at the restaurant? Yeah?
Yeah.
Like who?
Just at the pizza place across the street from me, it was run by a bunch of bikers. So they had like Billy Joel, Tommy Lee came through town one time, like, you know, just random musicians would pop through and different stars. So yeah, they had a bunch of those up there.
A bunch of bikers, so they had
rode with Billy. No, I didn't see anything from Boys to Colt, but it was just random celebrities who most of them weren't from Long Island except Billy Joel, but happened to be passing through and heard about this pizza place, which actually had some of the best pizza on Long Island.
How about you, Brayden?
Yeah, I went to a place once and there was a headshot with Bill Gates signed. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah,
that was in Seattle.
Kind of funny too. It's like, do the people carry them around in their trunk of their limo, or like, I guess they send them sometimes, but I
they
think
must.
a lot of movie stars actually travel with, you know, one of their entourage as their, their glossies. But so I lived in LA and a lot of places have like a bunch of pictures of like real celebrities on the wall. But I live in Wyoming now, and in Casper, Wyoming, I've been to at least probably 6 or 7 restaurants that have a framed sign photo of Dick Cheney up on the wall. Because he's from Casper, Wyoming.
Doesn't he own most of Wyoming?
He owns a huge amount of land in Wyoming. He grew up in a house 8 blocks from where I am right now. There's no plaque on it or anything. It's just that yellow house over there. But the post office building in this town in Casper, Wyoming is the Dick Cheney Memorial Building, and it also contains the SSI office. So think about the amount of socialism in the building named it's got the post office, which
that
is
makes me feel dirty that
socialism
that much socialism
packages. And then it's got the I'm too crippled to work place.
Crippled or crazy.
Or crazy.
Most of the people here on Long Island that collect SSI, including a few former friends of mine, are all borderline insane.
But it is right next door to, it's the William Jefferson Clinton building. Dick Cheney building is right next to it. They almost touch. They're like 4 inches. There's an alley, like you could put your hand down, but you couldn't walk down. Although... the Dick Cheney building is the FBI office.
Now that makes more sense.
Yeah, and it makes more sense that the William Jefferson Clinton one is the socialism for packages and crazy people.
I'm surprised, considering Wyoming and its,
right lean for most of its existence, I guess, as a state. I'm surprised they even gave Clinton anything there.
I don't think they have a choice. I think the federal government names federal
buildings. That's right, because it is a federal building. Yeah, that's right. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they preemptively named it the Dick Cheney Memorial Building?
Well, it's not.
I find that pretty hilarious.
He's still alive. No, it's like.
Hey, oh, okay. Cheney. I thought you said memorial earlier.
No, I don't know. But neither memorial. I said that, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calling his death.
My cat's.
Well, unfortunately.
It's weird.
Well, he's like
one of my cats is snoring, and it kind of sounds like. But the other thing is, so in my neighborhood in L.A., where I used to live in East L.A., which is not East L.A., you know, not like I'd get stabbed walking down the street in East L.A., but.
Not like Cheech Marin, what he was.
Yeah, like born in East. No, not that far east, but like Echo Park. Where, you know, I saw a good number of beatdowns and a few purse snatchings, but it wasn't East L.A. It was hipster. It's like gentrified. But the restaurant I used to go to there, the sushi restaurant, had pictures, had headshots of, like, nobodies, like aspiring actors. That's pretty funny. And they framed them. They had, like, oh, and I, the place in San Francisco, the sushi place I used to go to there, found out I was in a band and asked for my record and had me sign my record to them and framed my, it was the only thing on the wall.
Wow.
Of Asian art. It was a signed copy of the first Bomb record.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but the payoff on this whole story is the one in East L.A. in Echo Park, where I used to go, it was like a combination, like, sushi, Chinese, and, like, Mexican place, like, all in one restaurant. You know, kind of like a food court, but it was one business. They had all these pictures of, like, totally unknown actors on the wall. And then they had a signed picture of Sherm Hemsley also. While he's still alive.
He was like the A-lister there.
Yeah, he was he was like the god of actors among those people. Yeah.
Oh, good old Sherm.
Yeah. George Jefferson.
So that's that's his most famous character, I'm pretty sure.
So you were talking about, before the show, we had an interesting... We're talking about, well, Braden doesn't want anyone to know his last name, so he's Braden X, but I think we're going to call this new version of Fiend Phone the Braden X version, because it exists because of Braden, because Braden just kept, like, falling off. His internet just kept knocking Fiend Phone off, so Derek Slopey went and changed it, and the only thing that's changed is this version shouldn't crash the server if someone sends it bad packets accidentally from bad internet, the way Braden was doing intermittently. It should just kick him off.
Yes, the bad packet server should be punished solely, and it should not punish the rest of us for their bad packets.
Is it wrong that I'm really proud that my packets were so foul I got, like, bespoke software made in my name?
It's good. I've always joked that that I wanted to have a disease named after me. Dean syndrome.
There you go.
Yeah. Because I was really sick from, like, people assumed it had something to do with heroin, because as soon as I got off heroin, I started getting this kind of, like, cold flu kind of thing about twice a year, like a super flu that would last like 2 weeks and be devastating, but I would never have a temperature. And it had other weird symptoms, obtain vermicitude in a manly way, but not come to fruition after much digital stimulation. Yeah, is that the medical terms for it? Yeah. So I could do it, but it would never stop, and I would just get exhaustion. But I was sick anyway, so that would happen when I had that. But, like, I went to a bunch of doctors, and, you know, I didn't have money to go get, like, every test possible, but, like, all the tests and all the doctors poking at me, and, like, even stool samples, they were like, we don't see anything viral or bacterial. Like, we don't know what's wrong with you. It could have been some kind of allergy. I don't know. But I called it Dean syndrome, and it's actually ended when I moved to Wyoming, which is kind of weird because I had it in San Francisco and L.A. So if it was environmental, It's California. I was looking.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was California. Yeah, that's what it was.
The heroin covered about it up. So really, I had it probably when I was on heroin. But when I got off, I could tell that I was allergic. You know, Keith Richards says no one will admit it. No doctor will admit it. But heroin's a cure for the common cold. Because he said in 60 years of using it, he'd never had a cold. But I think, you know, you just don't know you have a cold. But I didn't know I was allergic to California. So Braden wants to be Braden X.
Yeah.
No one knows his last name. He doesn't want anyone to know his last name. He's a man of mystery. And he is, I said he's Malcolm X's great, 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 great grandson. So he's 164th Malcolm X.
That's right. Yep.
He's the white sheep of the family.
The white sheep, correct. Malcolm X's whitest grandson.
The whitest
Jeremy's
grandson you know.
And he's bipcotting his flask. So Jeremy,
yes.
Before the Jeremy's on super double secret probation. No one knows about it.
Nobody and everybody at the same time.
Just me.
It's Schrodinger's probation. Actually.
It's Schrodinger's probation. We have to kill him to find out what's in him. We have to kill him to find out if he's still on probation.
Exactly. Something along those lines.
But you got some cool points before the show by narking out Braden's bad audio.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, twofer system? Or the is it threefer? Maybe it's twofer. It's a lot of times the cops have this deal district attorneys have this deal where I don't even think it makes it. I think cops do this on the spot. They play lawyer. They'll pop somebody for a low-level drug possession, and they'll say, turn in two people bigger than you or turn in three people bigger than you, and we'll let you go. It's called a twofer or a threefer.
Yeah.
That's going to work with Jeremy, I think. it's going to be like a octifer, though. Octifer.
Oh, man.
That's my new cat's name. Her name is Octifer.
Octifer.
I gotta turn on half the fiends in order to freaking redeem myself.
So I've been going through all the fiends one-on-one, team viewing in and dealing with everyone's bad audio and updating everyone to the new version of a fiend phone and doing it myself to make sure it gets done, going into their computer, because the Freedom Fiends are a high demand group and you have to allow me into your computer. And what was it? Diana gave me her credit card and we share the wine and the cats and the dogs. And it's that kind of group. But we're going to talk about that later. We're going to talk about a movie about cult deprogramming. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it was. That was very interesting.
Yeah. But, so I've been going. So the only people that still don't have the Bitcoin wallet and the new Fiend phone are the same people. It's Steve Miller and Nima Vedati.
Oh.
And Steve Miller demanded it as union president. Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we all got it first.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
We enjoy each other's company so much that we just can't stop talking once we get off the air.
Yeah.
So, you said you're leaving to do a sound check while you're
No,
eating.
We're going to do a sound check.
No, we're going to do it.
We're going to go listen. So.
Okay.
Right.
How are you, fellas?
I am fine.
Very good.
Oh.
Speak up, Braden. Like you're on radio, son.
Very good.
There, do that. Yeah. So,
all right.
I am very good as well, Michael.
Murdered
How are you?
This new guy I got to replace you?
Yes, he's doing a wonderful job replacing me as I hang out with him on the air.
Braden.
What's going on? Braden.
Tell me something good.
Michael, did you know that a gentleman in Poland took some substances and ran naked through the woods?
I'll be back. Talk about
adding some game capture cameras. found him in the woods with the most hilarious photos I think I might have seen all week. Let's see.
Oh yeah, this was the story is great. It made me laugh and laugh and laugh.
Very much
and,
so.
And then my next thought was, where can I get some of this LSD that he claims to have been on?
Yes, definitely.
I would like to try some of that. Because I have done my share of LSD in the past. Not once have I even bothered to strip naked, much less strip naked, and convince myself that I have found my true personality.
Exactly.
And become not just a tiger, a Siberian tiger, I believe.
Siberian tiger, yes.
Yes, he thought...
That happened in San Francisco one time while I lived there. It was a guy climbed up tripping naked on the roof of a church, and there was a picture in the San Francisco Chronicle of the rescue attempt.
Oh gosh.
Which was, you know, basically the fireman with a hook and ladder, with the ladder up on the church, and he was naked and like kind of trying to like spider walk away from them in that photo. And the guy had long blonde hair and you couldn't see his face, and it looked exactly like me. And I cut this out of the paper and I put it on the wall, and everyone would come in and they'd be like, is this you? And I was having a bad week. It was a couple years ago.
That's funny.
But it was not me.
That's pretty funny.
I like this from the
far away, Michael, from any like authority or even public generally tripping. One time I was tripping in Berkeley, and it was the first time I'd ever lived in the first of many ghetto neighborhoods I lived in. It was Berkeley at Bancroft and 8th, which is still the ghetto. If you want to go sightseeing, see where I lived, 907 Bancroft. When I first moved to California, I was staying there with friends. And
you know what? I think that's what, I don't mean to interrupt. Year.
What?
But
go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt, but you just, I think this is the next app you need to make.
Is what?
Instead of the find, you know, find the GG.
Find
Michael's old, yeah, find Cash Newman's old stomping ground.
The name of the app will be Cash Newman Slept or Passed Out Here.
Yes. Like yes. Yes. There you go.
Do it.
That is awesome. I'm sorry. Continue.
It's worth interrupting me. Cash Newman Slept.
Jot that down.
Here. App.
That's
pretty good. Yeah. Please do not disturb the current tenants. They don't know who Cash Newman is. Yes. Knock on the door and ask to have a picture taken. Like, you know. And the houses are probably,
he made his cash around.
Nicer now because, you know, rent control and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
you should call it Cash Was Here.
Cash Was Here.
Yeah.
That makes it sound like an app to get money. More people will download it. You know.
Exactly.
Did I mention that I looked at the stats the other day? So, like, let's see, 78 beautiful people have, no, 82 beautiful people have downloaded the Fiend's iPhone app. The, let's see, 381 have the Freedom Fiend's Android app. Then all the other apps
I have,
you know, 5, 16, 65. Jim's has not a guarantee, has 14 downloads. Now, you can see how many people have downloaded it and how many people still have it. Truth, Justice, American Way, the one that Jeremy does the ad for, that he had to take a shower after doing it, the uber patriotic ad for...
Multiple showers.
For the app that's really just plays... It has, like, eagles and patriotic branding, but it really just plays the Freedom Fiends and LRN. That has had 143 downloads and has 33 current users. So I like that because
that's awesome. That you tricked that many people.
111 people have been tricked into, like, all the other ones. It's like, you know, they've got 381 installs and, like, you know, 401 people. You know, it's like a lot closer. This one is. I'm really proud of that figure. 33/143.
You know what? That makes me feel better about doing that ad.
Yeah. Like we've irked 111 patriots.
Well, okay, 110
Liberty stuff.
110. Yeah. One of those is mine because I was having issues with my phone, so I had to uninstall all apps that I wasn't using. Okay. But I have a new one, and once I get that, I am going to reinstall it.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, still 110.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
I don't hate any, that's not true.
Yeah.
The guy last night that we never actually got to talk about.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about the wedding you don't remember that you allegedly went to last night.
Well, there is photographic evidence, so I know I was there. But my youngest sister got married last night, and I went to the wedding, and...
Is this Sheldon Cooper's girlfriend, sister?
No. The youngest one. She got the other, Sheldon Cooper, Missy Cooper got married last year.
Graydon, do you know who Missy Cooper is?
I have no idea.
You ever watch The Big Bang Theory?
No.
Okay. Well,
clearly not.
Jeremy's sister's an actress who would have been the second most famous headshot after Sherm Hemsley on the wall. Nice. Go. She actually has been in a bunch of TV shows and had speaking lines, so she's real.
Yeah, she is real. But it was not her. It was our youngest sister, and. Unfortunately, as I've said many times before, I live here in New Yorkistan, so I have to deal with the idiotic rules and regulations of New Yorkistan. And shortly after the ceremony, which took place at the same place that the reception was, we were all getting ready, you know, going over towards getting the appetizers and stuff like that. And as I was standing there talking to a few of my family members, I pulled my vape pen out of my pocket and went to take a couple of drags. And one security guard, you know, the head guy, whatever, walked by and was like, you know, you can't do that here. But he kept saying smoke every time he said it. And right away, I was like, okay, this is going to be a problem because I'm going to be a stickler about this. I'm like, I'm not smoking, sir. And he tried to tell me that I was going to set the smoke alarms off. I'm like, well, that's just insane. That will not happen. I know that won't happen. It can't happen because it's not smoke. It doesn't work like that, sir. And then he mentioned the law, and I wanted to start fighting him right away because I hate this ridiculous law. But because you know my sister's wedding, I said okay, I will go outside. So I attempted to go outside, which I thought was ridiculous. But then I got yelled at by another security guard because I was carrying my drink with me.
You need a Bipcot flask, man.
Yes, I know. But it turned it very quickly, just the whole problem, because the guy, you know, I wasn't allowed to carry the drink outside. I wasn't allowed to use the vape pen inside. There was a vestibule on the way outside, but I was allowed to do neither thing in that space.
So
that was apparently the neutral zone where nothing could occur. Except standing.
You considered respecting his request because you know, as a libertarian, that you should respect private property.
Yes, private property ran through my head, you know, and their rules. But as soon as both security guards mentioned the law and tried to cite different parts of the law that they were trying to respect because of this, you know, one was the liquor license, which that got disproven right away when the next guy tried to walk out with cranberry juice and said, you can't go out there. And he said, but it's not, there's no alcohol. He goes, you still can't bring it out there. So I'm like, so it's not about the liquor license. You're just making stuff up as you go along. So at that point, I looked at him and I said, I'm not going any further than where I am right now. I gave him the finger and I pulled out my glass pipe and I just packed it with cannabis and sat there and smoked it. And he yelled at me about doing that. I just blew it at him and waited till I was done and walked back inside. And then he proceeded to follow me for the rest of the night.
Yeah, you tell an anarchist they can't do something because it's illegal and they'll do it and then ask you, what else is illegal that I can...
Yeah, pretty much.
They're just trying to make America great and get it back to the good old days, you know, when there was polio and segregation.
You guys know that, you know, Denver, where I live, just passed some laws allowing people to smoke cannabis in cannabis bars now. So maybe you ought to make your way out here.
So a year plus after legalization, they finally allowed it to happen in places other than, like, where were you allowed to do it before that?
Isn't it illegal in your backyard? If your neighbors smell it, they can get you fined.
Yeah, that was the issue that caused you know, one law causes another law, right? So you couldn't smoke outside. You can't smoke in a public place. You can't smoke in your hotel room. So they had all this pot tourism going on, but people couldn't legally smoke anywhere. So I guess they've solved that by, you know, allowing smoking in bars again, but only a certain kind of smoke.
Wait. What do you mean in only a certain kind of
smoke? You can only smoke cannabis. You still can't smoke cigarettes.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't like the effect of marijuana, but I'd rather smell the smoke of marijuana than the smell of tobacco, which I smoked for 30 years, or the smell of a lot of things, actually. But, you know, you're right at my nose.
Yeah, I've smoked for the better part of, you know, 22, 23 years. So, yeah. And I would still prefer the smell of cannabis. So I'm fine with the cigarettes not being allowed. I understand. Like, that one makes a lot more sense to me, too.
Cigarettes are foul.
Yeah, and they're not, you know, it's rude to do to other people. I understand that. So I'm totally fine with there being, well, of course.
Vaping is a lot less, you know, unless you're one of these a-holes who, like, show your wiener size.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Big clouds.
I do not have one of those giant rigs. I have one of the pen-shaped batteries.
In a restaurant. And no one knew. There's no way you can smoke a cigarette in a restaurant and no one will know. Like, I vaped, you know, take hits at Red Lobster on the vape pen after the meal and, like, blow it under the table or into my sleeve so people don't see it.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that a lot. I did it in Walmart all the time.
Oh, sure. I do it all the time. And
Walmart,
I
you can smoke crack there, though. I've seen video of it.
I have never actually seen that in our Walmarts, although I wouldn't be surprised in a couple of them.
You know why everything is about Walmart now? Like, everyone, you know, people of Walmart, pictures of Walmart, like, guess what happened in the Walmart? The police are going to Walmart more than ever. Walmart's the agora now. It has become the marketplace.
So worms.
Everything's going to happen at Walmart, including my wife was standing in the line in back of someone at the pharmacy the other day. Of a woman who had a large poo stain down the back of her white pants.
Oh.
My goodness.
Yeah. That is... Oh.
It happens.
That's just wrong.
It happens.
Yeah, it does. Oh, man.
Can you say that on
the
radio?
Gosh, people. Oh.
Yeah, let me touch your butt. Did. Lady.
Just, okay. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, there's a pro tip for you. Whenever wearing white, double check... After everything you do.
Yeah.
Anything you do. Not just any fluid. Any fluid that you can possibly come in contact with. Check twice if you're wearing white. Going out in public.
I think someone should make Bipcot flasks. But really, you know, that's what I need to make. I guess I have them. I have Bipcot stickers, the blue and white ones. But I really need to make, like, the ones that have the Bipcot, like, printable license that have small, the Bipcot blue, and then the red, like, no government thing, like government with the red line through it. Mm-hmm. You make 3-inch stickers. Like, that would fit readably on a 3-inch sticker. I should do that. I was trying to think the other day, like, what should I do for my next sticker? What should I do for the next sticker, too? That's a fiend sourcing question. People have ideas of, you know, maybe one of the button designs or something. But I kind of want to make the ones that say gunsandweed.com, or maybe the rifle ones that say guns and weed that have the AK over the weed leaf. I don't know, though.
I do like that one. I would like those stickers.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody else will. But.
That was based on a Yippie flag that was in, like, the first edition or the first pressing or second pressing that I used to have when I was a kid of Steal This Book by Abbie Hoffman. I think that picture's not in there. I think they later, like, put in better drawings on some of the stuff. But there was a drawing of, like... It might still be in there. There's a PDF online if you want to see. There's a picture of, like, this is what made me want to do radio. There's a section on how to do pirate radio in that book.
Yes.
And it's got this, like, room full of, like, hippies and freaks and psychos and people shooting up and people cleaning their guns. And, like, in the middle of the room, there's a guy on it with a beard on a microphone yelling about Che Guevara. And I'm like... I don't want the communism part of it, but I like the radio part of it.
Sure.
But in the back of the room, and this kind of inspired, like, making all these flags, like the Bipcot flag and everything. And, like, I like that a lot of people podcast now with a Bipcot flag hanging behind them. Because it reminds me of this thing I saw when I was 12 that, like, burned in my brain. It's this picture of Like the room of everyone, like 50 people in this room, like waiting to talk on the radio, I guess. And in the background, there's a banner on the wall, a flag that's like, I guess it was one of the yippie flags in the radical hippies mm-hmm. in the '60s. And it's a flag that's like, it's an AK-47. And then next to it, there's a pot leaf in a big circle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, someday yeah. I'll be on radio and make flags like that. So you can't get flags of that though.
You have.
Yeah, but
I'm looking at a button of it right now.
There's Bitcoin flags now too on Black
Block. Are there really?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice. I haven't been to Black Block in a while.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned the Bipcot, because I am one of the people that has the Bipcot flag now flying behind me.
I know, and everybody had it at Porkfest too. You guys had it behind you, and I think Shane, our new co-host Shane has it when he does it too, doesn't he? I'm going to be on his show tomorrow. Well, we're recording it tomorrow. He's going to play it some other time. I haven't been on like someone else's podcast for a long time. I've started doing it again. For a while, I couldn't do it because I was too sick to even do the own show. And
you did mine a while back.
What little lung? I died a while back. Did you say?
No, I said you did mine. You did my podcast a while back.
Did I? I don't remember.
Yeah, on my 50th episode, man.
I don't remember. When was this?
Mm-hmm.
Middle of the summer, I guess, somewhere around.
Well, you had to start over after your banning, so I don't remember.
Like, oh, that's right. That doesn't exist. I don't try to wipe people out of existence. You need to start over from square one. It doesn't exist.
But the thing is, it's not me.
Pick one, Michael.
It's like I actually don't remember.
I know.
Like my brain has subconsciously wiped it without me trying. I don't want to wipe it, but it happened.
It's a defense mechanism.
Always wipe before going to Walmart.
There's a show title for you.
My existence at Walmart in line at the pharmacy.
Oh, man.
I was standing in line with Mr. Jimmy, and boy, he was looking pretty ill. You kids don't know what that is.
No.
Can't say I do.
There's this little band called the Rolling Stones.
I know the Stones.
They make two
happen numbers. You can't always get what you want. There's a line in that song, standing in line with Mr. Jimmy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now,
boy, was he looking pretty ill. Well, you can't always get what you want.
Oh, see. Yeah, that's I needed the music in the background.
I can sing a little better if I sang a little louder, but my wife's asleep, so.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to wake her up.
So tell us more about how we're going to Bipcot everything. We're going to do flasks, crack pipes,
yeah. pipes.
Kratom capsules. That'd be funny. Like empty capsules, you know, just get the gel
like
capsules.
The clear ones, yeah.
And then like use like vegetable dye and silk screen a Bipcot on each one. Legal officer now. It has a Bipcot.
Whatever is inside this capsule
when
is protected.
When you're climbing on top of the roof naked and you've got a satchel of sack around your neck with your kratom in it.
Bipcot, oh, man. Kratom. Yeah.
Bipcot cape. There you go.
Next best thing. Next big thing.
You know there's a Bipcot cape. Did I talk to you about that?
And his weird friends. I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Liberty Kratom X.
2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
F it, we'll do it live. Tell that story. F it, we'll do it live.
Bill O'Reilly.
Google F it, we'll do it live. Like, spell out F it.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name?
Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in his days when he was, I guess he was like a regular old dudecaster or something. Yeah, something
no, it was
like
Entertainment
Tonight. Oh, was it? Yeah, that's what it was.
Like,
okay.
Like,
He is a broadcaster extraordinaire.
Well, he's been in, he's one of those guys who's been in the business forever, and it's just bounced from role to role. He's whatever is needed. He's whatever is needed. I heard somebody else say that recently too. I think it was Molyneux.
Oh wow! I take what I said back then. That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. There was some post flying around about that he had responded to somebody when they asked him directly if he was an anarchist or now had gone like to the alt-right and was, you know, going back to statism. His response was, "I am what is needed." Whether he was trolling in return or not, you know, I don't know, but that's just a chilling statement for anybody to make.
It is. That
never sounds good, you know.
Yeah, it's either like really vain or he's trolling or it's not good the other way.
Yeah. Or he thinks that he's actually, you know.
He could have
he's this fiend chameleon phone. And there's fiend nothing wrong phone. With
him. I got kicked off by my own bad packets. I think it got used on goodness. Me.
Nice.
Victory.
Yeah.
I'm calling that a victory right there.
The first person.
I was going to say, are you the first victim?
It is. I am. But you didn't notice, right?
I didn't. I just thought that you were being quiet and doing something else. I didn't look at the screen.
Likewise.
Yeah. So what was the last thing you heard me say? I was talking about Bill O'Reilly.
We were just saying how extraordinary he is.
Yeah, we actually didn't hear much past you asking for us to tell the story. I didn't hear much from you.
So I told the whole story.
Oh, yeah, we didn't hear any of that.
It didn't go out on air. Okay.
Oh, boy. Yeah, people are going to have to search for that.
No, we never actually got to the story.
Go on YouTube and search Bill O'Reilly Do It Live. It's him rehearsing when he's like 30. He's young in it. It's weird. He's like 30 or 35 in it, which is weird to see him young because he's so old in my mind. But I guess he was young once. Most old people were.
That's so most. Not all.
It's some people were born old, like Keith Richards.
And Ron Benjamin Paul. Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. This is very true.
Yeah. That's a horrible movie. I watched like 2/3 of it.
Never saw it.
It's almost good at points. You want to keep watching. A bad movie, I'll just stop after 10 minutes, but that movie was hard to watch. Yeah, so Bill O'Reilly was rehearsing. It's a tape of a videotape of a rehearsal of him when he was on Entertainment Tonight, believe it or not. He was one of the hosts, which is weird because it implies he was hip. You have to be hip to be on that, like Hollywood hip at least, and I don't think he's ever been hip. But he's screaming obscenities at a cameraman or a producer off camera, saying, "Well, F it, we'll do it live." But he says the F word, and it's pretty funny. It seems out of character, but it's not. You know who got? My friend used to do sound at this amphitheater where like oldies would play back in the 80s, and Mary Travers or Peter Paul and Mary.
I think Michael might have been droned again there.
Yeah, he was starting to talk about Peter, Paul, and Mary, and then he was gone. Well,
oh boy.
See, it's funny.
So this is the point when the software you create turns against you and starts to take over your own life.
Skynet has begun.
And it's Skynet has officially started.
It's taking out the creator first.
It is.
Derek's the next one, to go.
Because it knows Michael's the only one that can stop it.
Did you get thrown again? Yes.
And it came back on its own, though.
Oh.
Aha.
I'm going to turn that off on everyone. The next version is going to... I'm the only one that's going to have that.
The automatic reconnect?
Yeah, so the rest of you, if you get droned, you're just gone till the next...
Oh, right. Man.
Got it.
Yeah, it's really windy here in Wyoming, so there's probably a bunch of lines down, which is why...
The tumbleweeds took them out?
The tumbleweeds. So the Carell rule, there's this guy on GCN named Carell, K-A-R-E-L, who's the, like, one... There's, like, 75... shows on GCN, and most of them are libertarian, Republican, constitutionalist, you know, the world's going to end kind of people. And then there's us, and then there's Free Talk Live. And then there's Alex Jones, who's kind of in his own orbit. But Carell got kicked off of his shows and had to beg to come back because he said, the day Ronald Reagan died, he said, during a break, I want to F and F that guy's corpse in its F and F and A. But the board op had not muted him, and it went out on air. So the Carell rule is on the Fiends, you don't talk, you don't cuss when we're connected to the network, even if it's before a show, after a show, or during a break.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go, Braden X. You're learning.
Right.
And so is the audience.
Yeah.
And the knowledge.
Freedom Fiends teaching hospice.
These are handy tips for radio.
We get back, we're going to talk about a little movie called Deprogrammed. It's on Netflix, so go watch it in the next 8 minutes.
Put it on Netflix. Exactly. You can catch the highlights.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we are back for the second hour. Jeremy, here with Michael and Braden. How are you guys?
Feeling good.
Yeah.
I'm nifty.
You're nifty.
I'm nifty.
I like that. I use that word. People look at me funny when I use
it. I like nifty. Like square.
Yes, exactly. That's why it's like neato.
It's so weird. It's weird for hipsters like us to use it. I'm not a hipster, but I'm hip.
Sounds like spiffy.
You know, the Freedom Fiends serve all ages. We are where the hip meet the hip replacement.
All right.
So, Jeremy, tell everyone, before we talk about this movie, tell everyone how you became a bipinaire and what a bipinaire is and how you accidentally became one.
Oh, yes.
Because of my unending anger and wrath for you and never forgiving you.
Yes. Well,
sort of. I will.
On the evening of my
dark on enough fiends for bad audio.
I'm working. I'm getting there. Yes. On the evening of my firing, we had been working. The whole reason we had got together on a fiend phone had nothing to do with the show. You had offered to help me
inflate my ego by purchasing
some bips on an exchange.
None of the money went to me when you bought Bitcoin, but I'm hoarding mine. I'm not selling it. But you know, it shows that, you know, X amount of dollars worth were purchased that day, and
yes,
you know, adding $200 to whatever that figure was is not a bad thing for the. It actually drives up the price for, you know, a few hours.
Yeah.
When you do
Well, exactly. So I was willing to do that, and you know, we all know where that led to. But we got as far.
But the audience doesn't.
Oh,
I fired you from the show.
Well, yes,
and you're back now. But you're on double secret probation that even you don't know about. You know what that's from, right?
Animal House.
Yeah, Animal House. They were
one of my favorite
Animal
movies.
House was on double secret probation.
Yes. You've been on double. What you don't know is you've been on double secret probation this entire time. yes. Well, anyway, so we that night we had gotten as far as you helping me set up the GUI wallet for Bitcoin, which I hadn't got around to doing, and getting me some Bitcoin onto an exchange so I could try purchasing some
Bitcoin onto an exchange.
So yes, correct. Yeah. Some Bitcoin onto exchange so I could purchase some Bitcoin, because
I don't even know if I think you said Bitcoin, but I'm not sure.
No, I believe I said it wrong.
Have a cold and it would sound like Bitcoin. Bitcoin if you said Bitcoin.
I usually try to enunciate that better, but I'm pretty sure I screwed it up. But anyhoodle, we got that hoodle.
If you look it up, anyhoodle means. Yeah,
I know. I remember you told.
I'm telling the audience this. It means anyhow. If the person is interrupting you and you want to, and Steve Miller didn't even know that, and he uses it all the time, and he's like, "Well, come to think of it, that's actually how I use it generally."
Yeah, he was being appropriate with it. So, we had gotten that far, and I had gotten my bips there, and unfortunately, that's when our argument started, and that was what finally ended things.
So
when
you
we realized
with $200 worth of Bitcoin on Cryptopia exchange with no idea how to buy. Sell,
well, no. I understood how to buy it. Okay. I wasn't sure about getting it back off the exchange because I got confused, as we spoke about before the show, but. The whole thing was you and I had you helped me purchase a little bit, but it was at the wrong price, and that's when we realized that because we had been arguing for an hour, the price had tripled while we were arguing.
That's funny. That was karma, man.
Which would have been fine, except you made the joke, and I took it one step too far, and that's when you got mad again.
Wouldn't it have been crazy if, like, really the reason that it tripled while we were arguing was when we started arguing, I secretly went and bought a bunch of it. Like, I paid money to make it cost you.
Wow.
I didn't do that.
That would be rough, man.
I will spend my last penny to make sure you never buy any Bitcoin.
Well, so I left it hanging.
You think that I'm spending my Bitcoin on anything other than Cash Newman's need? Okay, never.
Yeah, mind.
I'm not buying Bitcoin. With my Bitcoin. No way. No.
So, well, anyway, so I had it there, and
please donate.
I managed to buy a few more, like a couple thousand more at a pretty low rate. And I was still trying to get at least 10,000, because when we had it worked out, we figured for the money I was putting in, I could have, like, at that time, if I could get it, it would be like 30,000 of them. So I was going to be happy to get like 15 out of the deal. Well, I left an order in there for 10,000 bips at a relatively low price. And I think it was a fourth of a penny. And four tenths and a half of a penny. And
so the robots did the buying for you.
Yeah, I kept checking it for a week and nothing happened, and then I forgot about it for a week and a half, and I went back and checked, and the robots finally did their job, and I got them all sold. So now I was a forgotten
Bipinair.
So yes,
Bipinair is anybody with over 10,000 bips. We've decided.
Also, I am not. Yes, I am.
There are dozens of Bipinairs in the world.
Yes, that's okay.
I still want to know who has the 100,000 bips from the month we shut down. It's not me. It's somebody.
But somebody has them on the right fork.
Fork, stayed. I mean, we're still on the right fork. We're on the fork of the fork that's the we're on the blockchain that started.
Well, no, I know that, but I thought there was. I know there was one person. I thought there was actually two people.
Oh yeah, there was somebody somebody had 70,000 on the wrong fork. We didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but so this other person.
He was all happy. Yeah. Well, no, good there's for somebody them. We don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So there is. Yeah. Well,
or maybe
good for them.
We know that won't tell us.
Tell us.
They know that we'll demand some. I wouldn't demand some, but I would suggest they don't. You know, basically the. When I thought the guy was 70,000, when I thought he was on the right chain, I said, "Hey, why don't you give us half of those and I'll use it to pay the programmers, which will make the 35 you have worth more probably." And that's a reasonable assumption. And he's like, "Yeah, man, sure." And then Derek and I figured out it was on the wrong chain. So
yeah, such a bummer.
Yeah. Oh well.
That so sounds like something that would have happened to me if I'd kept it running.
I know. So let's talk about this great movie, Deprogrammed, that's on Netflix. Everyone should go watch it. They're probably watching it now. They probably watched it during the break. But
yeah.
it's pretty amazing. Did you guys see this image I sent you of the director?
I hadn't checked my email yet.
I see him here with some rhinos.
It's a pretty stunning picture of this guy. He's out in a field with rhinos behind him. Smoking a pipe, not even a corncob pipe, like a meerschaum. I don't know if it's a meerschaum, a briar pipe. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty mm-hmm. awesome picture.
That's a pretty bad.
It's a Canadian dude. I don't know how to say his name. It's Mila, M-I-L-A, Ong Thwain, I think. M-I-L-A, last name is hyphenated, A-U-N-G, hyphen,
Ong Thwain.
T-H-W-I-N.
Yeah, it looks like Ong Thwain.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's this dude from Canada. Now, I have a weird connection with him, and it seems like when this, Jim, I was watching this movie, I wrote Jim and you guys and said, hey, check this out, because Jim loves deprogramming stuff. He hates cults. He's been
making movies
for like 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been like attacked by the Church of Scientology way before we met him. Mm-hmm. You know? So this is right up his alley. And I'm like, hey, Jim, check this out. He wrote back and he's like, oh, man, I've been trying to find this. I'm glad it's on Netflix. I'll watch it now. So we started watching it. We're emailing back and forth, and I'm like, God, this is a great documentary. I have to see who made it. Halfway through it, I look it up. I know the guy. I've worked with the guy. I know Mila Ong Thwain. I've worked with Mila Ong Thwain. And you, sir, are no Mila Ong Thwain, but you can probably pronounce his name better than me. But he's from Montreal. So he made this film called Squeegee Punks? What was it? Spit. In 2001, he made a really low-budget documentary called Spit, which stood for Squeegee Punks in Traffic. And it was about homeless, heroin-addicted, and speed freak, you know, like drug, like needle mm-hmm. drug addict, homeless punk rockers in Montreal who did the squeegee thing, you know, that annoying thing where people come up and
because
so they basically capture you with a social contract of I'm doing work of like making your car window dirtier, give me money and I'll go away.
Yeah.
It's a great documentary, and I loved it. I was sitting watching it in my little Echo Park, East Hollywood, East LA, crappy little studio apartment, and I wrote this guy like a fan letter. I don't write a lot of fan letters. I wrote him a fan letter. I'm like, great film, really like it. And we exchanged mm-hmm. some emails back and forth. So a couple of years later, I'm making the Selby documentary, and Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow. Bingo, if you're playing a home game.
I'm so close.
Yeah, so close. Yeah. So I wanted to interview Requiem for a Dream director Darren Aronofsky.
Of course.
You know, because, you know, Requiem for a Dream was adapted from a book by the same name by Hubert Selby Jr.
Yes.
So he's one of the people you got to interview to make
a movie about Selby. Makes sense.
So I contact him. Like, basically, I can get anybody to be in anything. That's one of the skills I have. Like, I can, you know, I could get someone who's won an Academy Award to be in my film Free. I can get Robert Downey Jr., who never won an Academy Award yet, but should. Has he? I don't think he has.
He was nominated
for
wasn't he nominated for Chaplin?
Yeah, but he didn't get it. He was robbed. He didn't get it. But I can go, well, I want this A-list director in my little tiny movie that I'm making, and I don't even know to camera, and I'm getting people to shoot film for me, shoot mm-hmm. video for me for free in other countries. So, you know, I got a hold of him. I got his email. I got his producer's email. I contacted him. He came back to me and they said, and this is how a lot of stuff works with a lot of things, especially with A-list people, is like, yeah, he's in Montreal this week filming. If you can fly there and do it, he'll be in the movie. Other than that, he's going to be locked down filming for 6 months. You know, you got to do it now. And I'm like, well, I can't afford to fly to Montreal. I couldn't even afford the taxi to fly to Montreal. So I was like, but I know this filmmaker, Mila, mm-hmm. who made this little punk rock movie I liked, who lives in Montreal, and I'm sure he'd probably like to go interview an A-list director. It'd look good on his resume. So, you know, I emailed him, like, hey, do you want to do this? He's like, yes, I'll do it. What do you need? And I'm like, all right, here's the list of questions. Here's how the thing should be framed, you know, visually. Try to get good audio.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BipCot.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BipCot.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BipCot t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BipStrong bracelets, BipCot stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BipCot. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BipCot.org. That's BipCot.org.
We're back.
Kratom Fiends.
Kratom Fiends. Yes, that's us. Kratom Fiends.
Kratom Fiends.
Still not yet. I really got to order some of that. Yep. I keep saying that and not doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be illegal by the time you
By the time you order.
You know, one of the...
Wait a minute. Do I hear something? What? Braden, do you have your heater on?
Yes. Excellent. That audio, correct. Michael, give him a couple points for that.
Excellent.
He caught me
two
again.
Two in one night.
I'm tenting my hands.
I'm getting good at this.
your audio bips back. That's what, you know, if bips ever, like, hit worthless, which they never will, but because we're going to add dot bip, maybe. Not a guarantee, but if they ever reach BIP worthless, they should just become like the company chit for the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
Can you say that on the radio?
Shit. You bet your bullshit. Bullshit. That should be the name of the episode. No, so Scott's listening. I'll give a one-to-one message to him because I don't feel like typing. Yes, that should be the title. But don't use a horrible picture. Use the picture I sent of the raccoon tenting its hands and saying, excellent. So I was telling the story, and I got cut off by talk radio, apparently. So I was talking about how I got this guy who's now the director of this great film and kind of a, like, almost an A-list indie director. He's done some really cool stuff. He even... was the producer of that, I don't even know how to pronounce it, that movie Twakakor or whatever. It's about, like, Muslim punk rock. Do you guys know about this movie?
I heard about it. I didn't see it, but I do remember hearing about that.
Myla produced that. But
interesting.
Yeah, so what ended up happening, like, if you go look on the IMDb for Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, under camera department, Myla is the first person listed because he shot the Darren Aronofsky interview for me because I didn't have money. I mean, that interview cost me $20 to get, you know.
Nice.
Because I paid for the tape and I paid for the postage to send me the tape.
That's a good deal.
I owe him a favor, mm-hmm. too. If he ever needs me to, like, you know, film some wind in Casper, Wyoming and send him, I'd certainly do
nice.
It.
Some tumbleweeds.
On my phone. I don't even have a camera anymore. I gave it to Nick.
Oh,
I'm not a filmmaker anymore. I mean, that's, you know, it's in my resume, but I'm a crypto. I run a crypto coin.
You're a bibonair now.
I'm a crypt keeper.
He's crypt keeper.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's how we got the interview with Lou Reed for the movie, too, because there's a connection between Lou Reed and Hubert Selby. Basically, like, Lou Reed was influenced by Hubert Selby, which you could definitely see, like, you know, Last Exit to Brooklyn. I mean, Lou Reed's dirtier lyrics, you know, grittier lyrics are basically like Last Exit to Brooklyn modernized and turned into a three-chord beautiful song. But Lou was in Denmark when we were making the movie, and they were like, well, if you can fly to Denmark and pay for the, like, So I knew a filmmaker in Copenhagen too, and I'm like, okay, can you go film this? Well, that's what happens when you write a book called $30 Film School. You end up knowing, you know, 30,000 people with video cameras around the world who send you their pictures. But you know, this was actually like, there's another filmmaker in the movie who wrote a screenplay with Selby, who's in Copenhagen, and he sent his like assistant cameraman woman to go film it. But we had to pay for, he was staying in a hotel there, a really nice hotel, and we had to rent a conference room for 2 hours to do the, you know, 20-minute interview in. 2 hours was the minimum. It was like $150 we had to rent, because he didn't want anyone in his room. He didn't want strangers coming into his room, because God knows what Lou Reed does in his, you know, putting kratom up his eyeball or his butthole or something. Well,
I can understand that.
I can understand it too. But
so he preferred a room by the hour. Impressive.
Nice.
So anyway, that's how that's my connection with Myla Ong Thuyn. And actually, we're trying to interview him. I'm trying to get a hold of him because Jim really wants him. We don't do interviews. We've done, this is episode 1041, and I think we've done about 20 or 25 interviews out of all that. I mean, people write me all the time. They're like, man, you should interview blah, blah, blah about the Federal Reserve. And I'm like, have you ever even heard this show? You know, like, yeah, we hate the Federal Reserve, but we don't want to interview some pedantic, idiot, humorless joker not joking about it.
Yeah.
But I'd interview Myla, and Jim really wants to interview him too. So we'll actually talk about something beyond the title of this movie and how I know the director when we get back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
So we're back, and we were still getting around to actually talking about the movie Deprogrammed.
So here's what I like about this movie. I was saying during the break that this documentary does something that almost no documentary I've ever seen does. And I was like, can you guys figure it out? You couldn't figure it out, could you?
I did not figure it out.
It has no agenda.
Every
documentary I've ever seen like pretends to be science and pretends to be impartial. Like even Michael Moore, who is nothing but a propagandist. He's pretty good one, actually. He's good at it. He's one of the reasons I started making films too. Like I was kind of apolitical, but I was like, oh, his movies are interesting and he puts himself in them and he's not attractive, but it kind of works. You know, like I thought that was cool. His movies are very, Michael Moore's movies are very much kind of like a friend talking to you. You know, that's how he tricks you, makes you think that. But
I've never actually seen one of them.
Yeah,
don't think.
You see Roger and Me. It's pretty funny. but they all have an agenda. Almost all documentaries.
Well,
you know,
sure.
Even if it's about a font. They're trying to say this font. And there is a documentary about a font. It's called Helvetica.
Thank you.
We love it. I told my wife that. She's like, oh, yeah. You know, like, she does not like documentaries very much. And she teases me about, like, oh, and those movies about fonts that you.
Well, I mean, you know, you got
to get her for, like, in, like, movies about, like, John. Dragons and trolls and purple capes and are my dragons?
I like those type of movies too.
No, I don't. I basically like movies, either documentaries or I have a bunch of, like, I figured out one day like what I like in movies and books and stories of any kind, like TV shows. Basically everything I like happens either in the not too distant past or the not too distant future, like probably between like 1920 and, you know, 10 years from whatever year it is now or 20 years from whatever it is now. Like,
is that when America was great again?
No.
Oh, gotcha.
You want sometime. That's funny. No, it's more like I can insert myself into it believably, you know, without suspension of disbelief. That's why I like Black Mirror, because it's like, It takes place in the very not too distant future. Like, it has technologies that exist now, but they're a little more advanced. It's like two years in the future, you could tell, you know?
That's
I like
a good
things
show.
That take place on Earth that, or, you know, like, place man has been already, probably. Like the moon. I like that that story, Moon. That's a good one. I like things that don't have magic. You know, mm-hmm. I don't like...
So you like realism.
I like realism. You know, and things that have like a small core cast. And usually, the things I like the most usually have an ensemble cast too. Like no clear one hero, or even if there is, you know, like it has like three or four main people. And this is all goes out the window with cartoons. Like Futurama plays all these roles. But I like it. It even has magic sometimes. But
you also like Deprogrammed, yeah.
Yeah, Deprogrammed. Thank you. Nice. That's good radio work. Getting us back. Reeling me in when I'm out, like, out in the water with Cash Newman's paddling.
My Liberty Lasso pulling you back.
Liberty like Lasso.
That's nice. Yeah, so this movie doesn't really have an agenda, which... and a couple of things I didn't like about it. There were a few... weird thing. Like, so basically it's about the invention of deprogramming, which is, you know, like the old school kind of deprogramming where they kidnapped someone in a cult who was an adult. Like this, like the guy who invented this, like almost went to prison.
He did at least a year. Like they talked about 1 year he did at least specifically, and he was in and out of the courts a bunch of times.
I was too busy reading about the film during that part of it. I
think. Right.
Oh yeah,
I was trying to figure out my connection to it.
Yeah, as I said earlier, 6 degrees of fiend. I heard you talking about something about that the other night. I'm like, 2 degrees. Yeah, actually, I was going to cut it down to 4 because you know 6 degrees. Of bacon, but
no, if it's 4 degrees, you seem to know more people. Like, I don't even mention it because there's really not a connection. But you know, I like really the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing is a database. It was one of the first like websites that wasn't static, and it actually fed from IMDb. So real degrees of separation are like, you know, the most real ones, the most pure ones with that saying are IMDb connections, and I'm 1 degree. From this filmmaker, like he and I worked on a film together.
Yes, I guess. Mm-hmm.
So. Yep. Yeah. Four degrees of separation is like, you know, that's reaching.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah. I understand.
But really, I think that part of the reason 6 degrees of separation came up was the saying, or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon was the saying 6 degrees of separation. Yes. Isn't that a saying about the fact that like everybody in America or in the world like knows somebody who knows somebody, you know, 6 degrees from knowing anybody? That's pretty how you network, too, by the way. You know?
Sure.
So what I didn't like about this movie is that there's something that's... There's two weird things about it for me from a filmmaking standpoint. Also from a viewing... The same things from a viewing standpoint. There's a woman narrating in it who... First of all, her narration... Like, her voice isn't bad, but the narration almost sounds like... Like it was temp narration that was never replaced with, you know, like she kind of doesn't sound like, she's just kind of phoning it in almost like, yeah. But it also like, there's not enough of it. Like it comes up twice. If you only have to have like, you know, two short paragraphs of narration in a movie, you should do it some other way, like a title card or film or another, like if something was missing. And also like she had some connection with the person she's talking about, like, and my boyfriend, blah blah blah, and she's actually
her stepbrother, I think.
She's in the movie, isn't she? The one shooting the rifle at the beginning.
I thought so. Yeah,
I thought
right.
So too. Yeah,
but they don't show
that's
her
the impression
talking,
I got.
They?
No.
That's weird because that doesn't connect with her. They should show her talking, and then go to like some B-roll over it, so it becomes narration. So then, when the narration, her voice comes up again, you'd know what it is.
Yep.
That's. I wouldn't say bad filmmaking. That's like, you know, when you're doing a dumb film, there's so many things to think about. It's easy to miss things like that. But you know what? I would. Here's my open offer to him if he hears this. Next time you make a movie, send me a rough cut. I'll give you notes. I'll do that free since you did the thing for my movie. Nice. You know, and the other thing is showing them at the beginning, the guy. Who? What's the guy's name? The bald guy, the punk rock guy that was in a cult, in the Love family, right?
I don't remember. No, he was the punk rock guy.
He wasn't in the cult. He was just the one that was. Wasn't he the one that was killing animals and stuff? And there was the
he was a Satanist.
Yeah, he was the Satanist.
Yeah,
he
but
was
I
somebody.
Think that was Yeah. That he got mistakenly identified as.
Okay, so he was like in the beginning, and then he wasn't in the movie until the near the end. Like, it was too far apart, and it, like, you know, I remember him. He's a very striking person, and then I was like, wait, where'd he go for the whole movie? And I'm like, they're gonna have to pay this off big, and it didn't really pay off big.
Well, he pretty much dominated the last like 20 minutes or so, didn't
he?
Yeah,
right. I guess so, but I don't know. It didn't connect right to pay off big to me. Also, there's some really bad gun handling in that first scene of the movie. Like, of course, the guy's Canadian who's filming it, so he doesn't know about guns. But so this woman is using this rifle. First of all, they're shooting down a dirt road, which is insane because, you know, it's shooting so far down a straight dirt road that they're not going to hear if some car comes whipping around from the curve, you know, a quarter, 8 mile away. They're going to shoot somebody. You could shoot somebody that way. You don't do that.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, second of all, she's not very steady with the gun. She's kind of like waving it around and trying to find it on those stake sticks, you know, the bipod she's using. Mm-hmm. You know, and the cameraman, whoever's holding the camera at that point, I'm assuming it's Myla, is like less than 45 degrees off her. He's like 35 degrees off where she's pointing the gun, and she's wiggling it 5 or 8 degrees back and forth, like, and her fingers on the trigger. Like, that's how you get dead people. Don't do that.
Yeah.
That's breaking the rules of gun safety yourself, you know, as the filmmaker, as the target, as the possible target.
You're putting yourself in that position.
Ouch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, see, I didn't even catch that part of it. I was so confused by her, the way, like, because like I said, like we're talking about, I'm pretty sure that was her, the narrator that they were showing in that sequence.
Yeah,
but I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure that out, so I didn't pay attention to the gun safety and your other criticisms. I'm not as adept at filmmaking as you are, so I wouldn't even have picked up on those things.
It's not really a filmmaker complaint. It's a viewer complaint.
Well, you said it's both, actually.
Yeah, it really is. Well, as a filmmaker...
Well, you have a much better eye.
And you have to learn to notice these things, so you notice them in your own film, in the rough cuts and change them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, you know, before I ever made films, I noticed things like, wait, they were just there, and then they turned the corner, and they're 4 miles away, you know, that kind of thing. You don't have to be a filmmaker. I mean, look at the goof section on IMDb's. Those aren't written by filmmakers. Well, they might be amateur, you know, like, I'll be a filmmaker, but, you know, I don't know. So,
well,
anyway,
speaking of noticing things, did you guys notice the fantastic artwork hanging up behind the experts they were interviewing? That was my favorite part of the film.
Yeah.
One of them has a nice poster that says, God hates slackers.
Yeah. And
I cracked up pretty good. I don't know why I'm enjoying that so much. And the other guy who looked
That was
like,
the professor. That was the college professor.
Right, right. There was another gentleman.
Something weird, too.
Yeah, he was, like, really professional, and it looked like he had framed, like a check, like, you know, his first check he ever got from doing some sort of business, and it was right behind him the whole time, and it was highly distracting to me.
The deprogrammer, what's the guy's name who invented deprogramming? The main
Ted Patrick.
Yeah, he had a framed picture of Obama in his home on the wall.
He did. He had Obama pins all over his chest throughout the film in various places.
For Reagan, too.
He worked for him when Reagan was governor, he said, in California. And then he had a signed picture from him, too. From Reagan.
His job for Reagan was like, I don't even know how to say this politely on the radio.
He was an affirmative action job.
No. I'm not saying how he got it. I'm saying what he did. He was basically like the community liaison for the hood. He was basically like for Reagan.
No, I know, but that position, that's what it is, too, though.
Is that what your check says? Like, the memo? For Reagan?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, no, it's the position itself is created because of affirmative action, because you need you need that outreach, and you need that, you know, that we need to reach out to them somehow, and we need to show that we care.
Affirmative
But it's like the reverse of that. That's how they use it.
Just getting votes. That's all it is. Just trying to get votes. Just trying to not get lynched.
But maybe we'll actually talk about them, you know, we'll try to talk more about the actual movie in a little bit of time we have left when we get back to the break.
I don't know if there's anything to send to Myla yet here.
Well, let's see if we can redeem ourselves.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Let's say that. Just that.
Attention, Denver area patrons. Contact me.
For your welding architect needs.
We're talking about a movie called Deprogrammed. You can go watch it on Netflix. It's good. We were complaining about some things we didn't like about it. We're going to talk just about what we like about it for the last few minutes. I do want to say that the Freedom Fiends have actually deprogrammed at least three people who've written us who, after we interviewed people who'd been in the high demand group that is the
Freedom Main Radio.
Yeah. Freedom Main Radio. Molyneux, Stefan Molyneux. There were three people that wrote me and said that they quit. And you know what they say, for every three, there's 10 that don't write you. So that's 30 people we've saved from the clutches that we are
Canadian. At least.
Yeah, at least. And then
he's not even
say
Canadian.
About anger quitting. What was the term?
Rage quitting.
Rage quit. Yeah, the guy who rage quit listening to this show, longtime fan who quit because I knew a guy who murdered somebody who went to prison, and I still talk to him now that he's out of prison. Forever, there's at least 10 probably who rage quit and didn't.
Well, they just, we'll see again. Then it's not a rage quit. It's only a rage quit if you announce it or make it obvious in
all
some
right,
way.
So the movie Deprogrammed.
Yes.
I don't know what, you know, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Here's more like, I don't know if it's good or not. I loved the movie. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, no, I was riveted.
I don't know if it's critical or, you can't tell if it's in favor of or against deprogramming. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. That you can't tell what the filmmaker believes. You'd think that's a good thing.
Well, didn't you say, but doesn't that go along with the whole no agenda thing that you talked about before? It really is. It's giving you information and letting you decide and letting you make.
Here's why I think it might not be a good thing. I'm wondering if maybe the filmmaker thinks, what do you mean? It's absolutely against deprogramming. How did you not get that from watching the movie? If that's what he's thinking, then it's not good. Then he didn't.
Well, yeah. Well, yes, of course, if that's the case, it was very ambiguous.
The more I think, maybe that's it. Instead of like a Zen purity of I will present the facts and you will interpret them. You know.
Well,
we really need to get him on this show, but
exactly.
You do.
I don't think he's going to come on now after this.
And now you've just sullied the movie for me because now I'm going to start thinking about that. While I was all content. Nah.
Say good things about it. We got 3 minutes. Say everything you can think about.
Like I said, Ted Patrick guy, the guy who started this. I mean, he interviewed him recently. He still thinks what he's doing was right. Like everything about it. Like, yeah, I had to like do some of this and violate some rights and, you know, but it had to be done. And, you know, these were adults that he was literally having kidnapped in some cases by family members themselves.
Yeah. The ends justify the means.
Yeah. And the other deprogrammer guy was even creepier. The one they kept going to, he kept talking about he learned from him. You know, he kept talking about how, you know, it was his system basically that we all followed. He was the one who set the tone.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was interesting.
The only guy who's done this. Like there was an industry of this and there's
still, exactly. Yeah. There was a
there's
whole consortium.
Industry, but it doesn't not include the kidnapping.
Yes. Well, that's what that other guy said that he changed, you know. Ted was the one guy who didn't reform. But yeah, it was just interesting because I liked the fact that there was stories from people who were happy that Ted supposedly allegedly saved them, and other people that seemed to be not so happy with Ted at all for what he did and intervening in his lives, especially that one guy, the punk guy with all the tattoos and stuff, who was like, you know, basically like, this guy made my life, which was already pretty messed up because I got my own demons, like even worse.
Right.
And, you know, although
you know what there I did like too about that opening with the rifle, there didn't seem to be any judgment in the fact that he was using a rifle. Like some filmmakers would do that. It kind of, you know, they'd kind of like, oh, he's crazy, he has guns. But it just seemed like this is something the guy does. Let's show it. To me, I was like, that guy's incredibly careless because he's shooting down a straight dirt road that probably turns at some point. But, you know, I'm a stickler for bad audio and gun safety, so there's worse than being
I was just going to say that you beat me to it.
Go ahead and say it.
There's worse things to be, Michael. Against bad audio and gun safety, and, you know, bad gun manners.
Yeah, you know, if all libertarians cared as much as I do about good audio and gun safety, there'd be no state.
Not a guarantee.
Not a guarantee. Oh, where's my phone? I have that now too. I'm one of the people who has that app.
Yeah. One of the four people.
It's actually my ringtone now.
Seven people. I think. Oh, Jim. Nice. Jim, you know, saying, that was an option too. Like, check here if you want people to be able to save his ringtone.
Yeah, Jim doing not a guarantee is my ringtone. The on repeat is currently my ringtone.
Yeah, I could prevent the state.